way to the airport. I am flying up to San Francisco today. Go back to the Dfinity office where I'll meet Akos and the rest of the Dfinity team. I'm getting to the front of the security line. Looks like I'm plenty ahead of my flight, so time-wise I should be fine, but I'm really tired. I just made it through security and I'm on my way to my gate. First time flying Alaskan Airlines. They actually bought Virgin recently, so I'm wondering if it's gonna be a plane in the Alaskan configuration and livery, or if it's gonna be a Virgin plane. And then the flight to San Francisco is on about 1.5 hours, so I'm gonna try and get some rest before then. I have about 1 hour until we start boarding and about 2 hours until the flight. I want to make sure I get through security without any issues or without coming under pressure. Time to leave Vegas and head to San Francisco. So last night we crashed pretty hard. We got back. Well, first we got to the office, spent pretty much all day in meetings, getting stuff done. Came back here and had one last call at 10 p.m. And after that we were just ready to crash. Slept pretty well. Had a call with the Zendesk team in Europe this morning and now we're headed to the Dfinity office. Been at the office most of the day and it's been a pretty productive day so far, and I'm just about to meet with a Dfinity community member and talk about community and applications and potential. This is interesting for these guys as well. How did you first hear about Dfinity?
Well, I first heard about Dfinity, it was like on a podcast. Like a crypto podcast.
This was like 2016, 2017?
No. It was like just last year. I wasn't really involved with blockchain anything until this year, really. I started to get interested in it. But last year I was watching, you know, when everyone, the Thanksgiving effect, when people started hearing about how you can make millions of dollars in Bitcoin and Ethereum.
The speculation.
And yeah, I was watching a podcast and they were talking about Dfinity. Dominic's picture came up. And I was like, hey, I know that guy. and I didn't even know that, you know, when I met him, it was like 2015 or something. So then as I started to learn about blockchain, I became interested in Dfinity because it's here in Palo Alto. Yeah. It hadn't launched yet. The technology seemed really interesting. You know, the connections with Stanford, Dan Bonet, and people like that. And, you know, the more I learned about it, it seemed like a really great project. And I was like, this seems like a great thing to become involved with and a great way to learn about this space. I mean, the downside of that is that most people who are in the Telegram group probably are coming from like Ethereum development or something like that, where they already have the foundation. Whereas I'm just kind of building it.
The Telegram group that you're speaking about is Mission Control. Mission Control is our community channel for everyone that's interested in like becoming a developer on Dfinity right now. That we're getting closer to launching our SDK, launching the testnet, and then launching the mainnet. I've taken this new role inside Dfinity to build out that developer ecosystem. We've been very, very closed in the past. For good reason, we don't want any of the IP to get out before we are ready for a launch.
Right.
But at the same time, I feel we have a lot of people that are interested in the project, and if I was part of that community, I also wanted to like understand what's going on and what's happening. So I feel from the outside, sometimes you can almost get the idea of Dfinity not making any progress because we're so closed. We've just been so focused on all the tech over the past 18 months that we kind of never focused on marketing and, and PR.
A few years ago, I was learning iOS development as like a hobby. And like in those kinds of meetups, like it was still like a little bit of the energy, but it wasn't like, wow, this is amazing. Yeah. You know, like when you go to some of these blockchain meetups, you're like, wow, I feel like I'm really like on the cutting edge.
Yeah.
You know, it's fun.
I was working on different projects before becoming just 100% focused on Dfinity. And one thing that convinced me that I have to be just all in here is like every time I went to a meetup or gave a talk somewhere, I just like feel the energy in the room, which is at least 10 times as much as in any other space. Like I was doing computer vision and productivity apps in various regions or areas, and they're all exciting technologies, but I think blockchain is so on the edge between, it's not just technology, it's like psychology, it's economy. Like it just gets a multitude of people excited, right?
There's lots of things to learn as well because of that, you know?
You came here today to talk about the Block Explorer.
I did, I have something to show you too.
Tell me, show me.
So this is what I have so far.
Cool, I like the logo. Did you do that?
Yeah.
Let's see if we can capture it.
I wanted to create something that looked kind of alive and represented the Dfinity. So you can see like that these lights kind of blink on here. So each one of these nodes is supposed to represent like a mining process group. And then, you know, when the lights go off, that's supposed to indicate that a block is being produced.
So for someone who has not spent time thinking about what a block explorer is, maybe quickly explain the concept. What can you do in a block explorer and why would you want to build one? And what will people use it for?
So a block explorer is basically a way to retrieve information from the blockchain, search by like block hashes or transaction hashes or like someone's address. So for example, if I sent you money and then you were like, I haven't gotten it yet. And I was like, oh no, what happened? It got lost. You know, I could look it up in a block explorer and see what state it was in.
Right.
And why you hadn't received it yet. You know, some of these block explorers really, like Etherscan, provides a lot of functionality on their website with like graphs and all kinds of interesting things.
Yeah, so what do you think is the minimal required functionality to make it useful for people who want to use it?
So certainly being able to look up any block or transaction.
And how do you think you would go about building this?
First of all, you need to be able to retrieve information from the blockchain. So we don't have the Dfinity DevTools yet.
Right.
So I'm not sure exactly how that's going to work.
We're working on it.
With Ethereum, there's like JSON RPC or something like that.
Yeah.
So I assume there's going to be something like that for Dfinity as well. It wouldn't really make sense to make a block explorer that used those function calls. You know, so here I am using the block explorer at home. I'm a user. When I search on an address, it doesn't make sense to go out to the blockchain at that point because it would be too slow. It needs to be like stored in a database or something like that. Right now I'm leaning towards maybe using Firebase as the database because it provides like real-time kind of pushing the data. The idea would be to have a server set up somewhere constantly querying getting the data from the Dfinity blockchain, pushing that out into Firebase, and making sure that the Firebase representation of the blockchain was up to date and accurate.
Good stuff. And so if you're still watching, if you have cool ideas for what you want to build on top of Dfinity, get in touch with me. I will post a link to Mission Control below, which is a Telegram group for everyone who's interested in becoming a developer for Dfinity. With that, thank you, Dylan, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.